Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, live on your radio. This is the broadcast for August the 6th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is hour two of two. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Wow, a lot of stuff going on, folks. Last hour was a killer hour, folks. I'm telling you right now, great talk radio. Angela reporting on local politics that has national and international implications about the battle on to wear or not to wear masks. Using our First Amendment right to peacefully assemble. Ammon Bundy doing a great job coming to the event. Incredible speaker. You got that on the local level, but yet we ought to duplicate that or replicate that, whatever you want to call it, all across the country. Good people saying, hey, wait a minute, you don't have authority to mandate masks. What are you doing? Calling to account those who we've elected who have their just power derived from the consent of the governed. That's we, the people, ladies and gentlemen. Right on up to national stories, Brian Rust, Quinnegift. RustQuinnegift.com doing a phenomenal job. Brian Rust, incredible insight and commentary. Kurt Crosby bringing incredible stories to the table. Yeah, NFL legend Herschel Walker slams Black Lives Matter, says I'm for American lives. American lives matter. Amen to Herschel. Trump's COVID talk. They say COVID boast. I don't really like that. I don't know how much he's boasting when the mainstream press literally manipulates and downplays everything he says and or does. At some point, is it really boasting to say, wait a minute, look what we've done. This is incredible. Look what we've accomplished. Look what we're doing. It's boasting, you could say, but if they would cover it right, would he be boasting? Or would he let them carry the ball? But when they literally shut down all the good that's being done. All right, Pennsylvania reports over 500 coronavirus deaths in July. They said that's way down from June. Way down. How much? 53.5%, folks. That is significant. Okay. Sweden's top virus expert. No point in wearing a face mask, folks. This guy touts the country's improving COVID numbers after never locking down. All right. And this is important because, so is President Trump really boasting? Or is he really trying to set the record straight? Knowing President Trump, to be honest, it's a little bit of both. But if you're the president, you're trying to get reelected, wouldn't you boast a little bit about your accomplishments? It's kind of like me walking in with my resume and they're like, Sam's boasting about his experience in radio. You know, he's been on the radio 25 plus years, nationally syndicated talk show host, one of the top 250 talkers in the nation, broadcasted live from the Republican National Convention and CNN brought him water, broadcasting live from the Republican inauguration of the greatest president in modern times, President Donald J. Trump. And, you know, now he's on your radio telling the tale of liberty. He built a radio network. In fact, he's built several of them as an engineer, including the current two that we're on. One he helped grow and the other one he built entirely. Then building software for radio stations, and over 350 plus stations use my software already and growing. Okay, am I really just trying to tell you how awesome I am? Or am I really trying to use, if I'm looking for a job, like President Trump is doing right now, by the way, he's looking for a job for the next 4 years, right? To represent we the people. All right. Am I really boasting about that if I put all that on my resume, or am I telling you who I am and what I've accomplished? A little bit of both, right? Okay, but do you fault the president for that? Well, since they fault him for everything, of course they do. But I don't. It makes sense to me. Why? Because I like President Trump. I'm a businessman. I get it. That's why. All right. Hi, Kurt.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
What do you think of my intro, though, about that, Kurt?
I like it.
It's amazing to me that they're attacking him for trying to highlight his accomplishments in the hostile environment he finds himself in.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, he's it's nice to see every so often he gets some support from somewhere. And, you know, at least in my opinion, that's what you've got these days. You're going to have to choose. And I was looking up just to kind of make the point, Sam, after our buddy Ahmed Bundy was here locally, you know, last evening. You know, certain places I noticed, you know, there was a Daily Herald had a story about him. You know, the looks like the two news people had a story about him, but I couldn't see anything on KSL. I doubt there'll be anything on Deseret News. You know, there's just certain ones that want to cover. The one story from the Herald said that the, a couple hundred people were huddled around the amphitheater. You know, I mean, I didn't see any huddling going on there, and it looked like, you know, probably 400 people to me. But anyway, they say these.
Hey, don't believe your lying eyes, buddy. You got the reporters going on, Kurt.
I know. That's a great point.
Doesn't matter if you're there. Doesn't matter if, you know, you see the whole event different, my friend.
They say that Ammon was clutching a microphone. Oh, man, all of a sudden Siri's waking up now.
Wait a minute, clutching a microphone, is that any different than anybody that goes up to a microphone to speak, Kurt? See, they make it sound like it's just, he got his gun in one hand and the microphone in the other. He got a bad look, an evil look in his eye. Okay, I mean, what are they talking
about? Don't you think it's
about?
Amazing, though, that, I mean, all day I'll have my phone with me and there'll be nothing ever that it just goes off and starts talking to me.
Yeah, but we got to disrupt the program
during the
somehow,
radio
Kurt.
Program. You know, I mean, he's just like, what? But anyway, they in this Herald Extra piece
Let's
where they're
see if
covering
I can trip
this.
It for Kurt. Ready? Hey, Siri.
Yeah. Anyway, they call it the Rally for Liberty, they say, and this is their way of saying it. Watch. It says it featured a number of prominent speakers, including Ammon Bundy and Shauna Cox, comma, anti-government activists who were part of an armed militia that took over an Oregon wildlife refuge in 2016.
Okay, let me stop these thugs for a minute. I can't even take it. I can't even take you finishing the sentence, Kurt. First of all, Ammon Bundy is not anti-government. In fact, he, like we, have been advocating for obedience to the checks and balances in the Constitution and obeying the supreme law of the land. And these thugs run all over it roughshod. If you don't believe me, let me prove the point. A jury said Ammon Bundy was not guilty of anything criminal.
Amen.
And what the other judge said in the second trial, because, of course, they drug him through multiple court cases, put him in jail for 2 years. The jury said he was guilty of nothing. And then the judge said who was corrupt, who withheld exculpatory evidence, who was criminal in their delivery and derelict in their duty and withheld evidence and everything else. Not Ammon Bundy. No, sir. The judge said the government's so corrupt, I got to cancel this case. Ammon, you're free, sir. Now, why did all that happen? Not because...
Then they tased his attorney in court.
Well, of course,
you know, I mean, you think about that. When have you ever heard of an attorney getting tased in the courtroom?
Well, and an attorney, by the way, that just won.
Yeah. I mean...
Okay, and now they're like, hey, Ammon Bundy's anti-government. And he's, you know, was involved with an armed militia. Ammon Bundy was not armed. Okay? While they say he was involved in a takeover in an armed militia in Oregon, he was sitting in like a gymnasium with government officials who were speaking and talking. And he was up there on the bleachers with his cowboy hat on, Kurt, and he was not armed.
Right.
What are they talking
about?
Yeah,
but that doesn't make a good story, Sam. I mean, you can't really.
It makes a great story for the sacred cause of liberty and those who defend it.
That's exactly right.
But anyway, keep going. I don't mean to interrupt. I'm just saying I can't take it anymore.
They say that he was clutching a microphone and wearing a faded leather boots and a chocolate brown cowboy hat. He told the crowd that solidarity was the way to stand up to government mandates, such as the statewide mandate for public K through 12 schools this fall. He says, plan on, these are his words, at least according to the article, quote, plan on standing and uniting together because that is what it will come down to, end quote. It will come down to each one of us saying no. And then as the powers come and force us in whatever we're saying no to, then our neighbors will come around us and defend each other. That's exactly what happened at the Bundy Ranch. That's what must happen all over the United States and all over the country if we are to preserve liberty. I guess the piece went on, says, Bundy asked the crowd, which ranged from elderly couples to parents with their toddlers and infants, a question: who has the right to rule you? One lady, I guess, shouted, no one. Another one yelled, I do. Another one said, God did. Amit Bundy said, it's not about a mask. It's not about a virus. It is about whose right is it to rule. Who has the right to rule your life, your time, your labor? Who has the right to control your body? We are entering the greatest battle to defend individual rights that has ever been waged before, he continued. If we lose this battle, then we and our children will be plunged into the depths of darkness for many generations. This darkness will be more severe than ever before.
Whoa.
Anyway, they gave some pretty good coverage there. I don't know how accurate it is because I was across the way from there. I didn't get to hear. I mean, I was trying to make a living. I know it's kind of a crazy idea, but, you know, even though I have massive amounts of money that I didn't
know
where it is, you know.
Yeah. Kurt Crosby's the money man, that's for sure.
That's right.
All right, hang tight. Anyway, I can't take the propaganda anymore, Kurt. They're lying. Why are they saying he's in faded boots and he's, you know, got this hat on or whatever? I mean, they're making him sound like he's just this evil rebel. And the jury felt like he was guilty of nothing, and the judge felt like the government was factually like they're portraying Ammon Bundy to be.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly. But I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
So anyway, as I was saying, I just can't take the propaganda, Kurt. The dishonesty and what is, you know, they act like he's in like faded clothes. I mean, they kind of want you to believe this guy's like Jesse James, Kurt.
Well, I mean, yeah, I was thinking about that when you see the picture they show and thinking, you know, if he shaved and, you know, got rid of his cowboy hat, it wouldn't really look like Ammon Bundy to me. And so,
well, and that's kind of part of the thing, though. Is it wrong to look like a cowboy when you're a cowboy, Kurt?
I don't think so, Sam.
Now, is that a wrong image, a painted image of a criminal or a ne'er-do-well or a social outcast and or a criminal when that's really the heart and soul of Western America, Kurt? Is that what I mean? Is I think they're manipulating the honest, fair image. I kind of think of Ammon Bundy a little bit more like the John Wayne of the American Restoration, personally. But see, that's just me, right?
That's right. And this Herald Extra article, and I got to tip my hat, you know, even though I don't have a hat on right now, but tip a hat to them and saying, hey, this is a pretty good in-depth article. Since I wasn't over there, I mean, I was close. I just wasn't close enough to hear it. They tell you that there's a resident from Salem, Amberly Nelson, who told the rally attendees, being a mother of seven, she called the statewide mask mandate for K-12 schools an unprecedented usurping and an
abuse. And let me just stop there. It is, Kurt. Yes, we've never had this happen, I don't think, in the whole country, ever.
And I guess she added that she wanted to unmask the truth about masks and the many other ways the government in the state of Utah is masking the truth. She said, the time has come to unmask ourselves, unmask our voices, and unmask our righteous rage at the unlawful acts of tyranny that are being hurled at us daily, dressed up with official-sounding titles such as mandates. That's what she said over the cheering crowd. I guess they weren't huddling now. They were huddling earlier, but they were cheering now. She said wearing masks should always and only be a choice, never an act of compulsion by mandate, calling the school mandate a social experiment to see which residents would comply with government orders. She's pretty good there. Remember, she says, we did not hire our representatives and elected officials to protect our health. We hired them to protect our liberties. It's our job to protect our health, and it's still our right to choose how and when and where. Then they talk about, the article talks about Enoch Moore, calls him a member of Defending Utah, you know, and he says that their group is to promote liberty while exposing shills and fake friends of freedom. He encouraged parents to pull their kids out of public school, the story says. We would say government school. He says, if possible and if unable to tell their kids to ignore the mask mandate. Refuse all testing, Moore told the crowd, the story says. Refuse to get your temperature taken. Refuse to wear a mask of any kind. Refuse anything. Well, you'll still get positive reading, though. I mean, if you refuse all testing. Right, Sam? Refuse anything that could be classified as medical treatment to which they did not consent. Teach your children not to consent because they are following the law when they don't consent. And make sure they have like-minded friends at school because they'll try to turn the children against the parents. And they say that Bundy was telling the audience about the 2016 armed standoff against the federal government. Utah County Commissioner Bill Lee was holding a virtual town meeting with residents who had questions. So, you know, they're feeling a little bit of heat, Sam, you know, and I
appreciate it. I think it's good, but not enough heat.
I agree. Yep.
All right.
So anyway, Utahns, that's probably the whole story there.
Utahns speak out against masks at Rally for Liberty in Orem, Utah, during a, quote, county commissioner's town hall. Connor Richards with the piece from the Daily Herald, but I find that interesting. They act like we created a rally during their event, when in reality, it's the opposite. They created their own event virtually to skip out on the people's event. And this is an interesting way. It all depends on who you are and what reference point you come from. And the media always comes to the government, you know, dictator's perspective kind of a thing. Good. Why are they not attending our rally? Why are they not coming out with the people? Why are they having their own virtual sidestep, you know, while... Right.
Well, and, you know, just like Angela said, they went to these meetings several times. They shut them down or they said, hey, too many people in here, you know. So these guys gather at a park, you know.
And then they're saying, we're doing it during their meeting. Wait a minute. Yeah, we're the ones that set the time. And then they're like, oh, we're just going to have a virtual meeting instead to circumvent. What they're trying to do is divide the people. So you go to the virtual meeting and you listen to the bureaucrats. You go to the in the park event and then you're a protester, Kurt. See what I mean?
Good point.
You just can't win with these people. And the reporting is dishonest. Now, I appreciate Connor Richards for trying to cover it. Do you think O'Reilly covered it fairly, Kurt? See, I don't I don't really think
I'd only know that if I was actually there. I mean, I was close by there, but I didn't really. And I,
to me, it's the words that are used, though, making it sound like we created a protest while, you know, the legitimate government was meeting peacefully, and we're kind of the rabble raisers. And hey, Ammon Bundy was there, this anti-government guy. So the whole group is anti-government now, and it's all those tongue-in-cheek, wordsmithed, slanderous agenda pieces that make me not comfortable with the reporting, Kurt.
Yep.
Now, if you said, hey, there's a, you know, we have, based on the First Amendment, we have a right to peacefully assemble. And patriotic Americans got together with a peaceful assembly. It was an incredible event, peaceful. People were talking about the Constitution, talking about making sure that, you know what, we, the consent of the governed, have a say in what goes on with regards to masks. And there were great speakers, renowned speakers that understand the sacred cause of liberty. And why were those who were elected who represent them not there to listen to the people for once? Now, if it was written like that, I would have some honor in it. But I don't see the article that way, Kurt, at all. And you could say it's not openly, outright hostile. It's true. They know how to walk that line really well in the media, which is make sure to kind of side. We don't really, like, punch you in the face. That would be too obvious. We just kind of walk by and hit you in the back of the head. We just kind of trip and poke you in the eye and say, oh, my gosh, I'm sorry, I tripped. Kind of an idea where he didn't openly attack Ammon Bundy, but he sure didn't put him in a favorable light, Kurt.
That's exactly right. And some folks that I've even met would say, man, you got to lock that guy up. He's in real trouble.
Why? Because the jury said that he should go free? Why? Because the judge said the government's criminal?
Well, they don't know that part.
Well, they better know that part. That's my whole point. You know, why don't they know that part?
Because the media chooses to not report.
See, if you're going to have a good, detailed part about Ammon Bundy coming to this thing, you need to say, the jury set him free. The poor guy served as an innocent man for 2 years in prison for nothing, according to the jury. The attorney got tased, and the next judge who took him on realized the federal government was criminal and derelict in their duty and intentionally withheld exculpatory evidence. And so Ammon walks free again because the government was out of control, the judge says. Okay, are you going to highlight any of those facts of reality, or are you just going to... The guy clutched onto the microphone, looking like a derelict cowboy from the Jesse James era. See? Okay, what are you talking about? See, they're not even on the same planet with us, Kurt, in terms of how we see this thing. We're so far apart, I think it's almost irreconcilable. I say almost because I always leave hope, right?
That's right.
Good All point. Right. Anyway, there you have it. Now, Facebook and Twitter took down a video where President Trump was saying that children were almost immune from the COVID-19, Kurt. Now, they say the problem with that is it's propaganda. The president's saying things that aren't true. He's involved in fake news and got to take it down, says the arbiters of truth, Facebook and Twitter there.
Yeah,
you want to respond to this?
Well, I mean, if you look at the real numbers, Sam, I mean, people that are pretty much under 24, it's just, you know, like they say, at least I'm looking at one of the pieces, it says Stanford expert says 99.8% of deaths from COVID-19, people over 24. So then what are you worried about making little kiddos have a mask on?
Yeah, now what we're going to do is we're going to wordsmith this into a manipulation of President Trump's reality, which is this. Mm-hmm. Immune, Kurt? Immune? Children aren't immune. Scientifically, that's not true. Therefore, the president's a liar. He's wrong. Okay, what President Trump is trying to do is talk to the masses. Now, if you want to go into the details, President Trump understands the scientific backing and the reality. Go to the last hour headline that we highlighted. Trump's COVID boast. See how they manipulate that? Let's change it. Trump's candid reality check on the coronavirus. Well, turns out that he's right, and they know that he's right. Well, the same thing's true here. Okay, he didn't say they were 100% immune. He just basically said, look, the chances of children getting it is pretty slim. And even when they get it, it's not catastrophic in any way. What, 98%+ of the time? Or 99.8%+?
We saw that in our family.
Oh, and Kurt has that reality check in his own family to highlight President Trump's point? Except they ignore us and say we're anti-government, right? That's how they roll.
Pursuing liberty. Using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Across the country, some classrooms are already open for the school year, but some are choosing to stay closed, including the nation's third largest school system. Chicago School Superintendent Janice Jackson.
We will begin the new school year learning at home and continue learning remotely for the first quarter, which ends on November 6th.
Facing a spike in coronavirus cases, officials have rejected a plan to have some students in the classrooms. In an interview with Reuters, Dr. Anthony Fauci said he's cautiously optimistic that we'll have a vaccine by 2021. New York City is putting up checkpoints to identify visitors coming in from COVID hotspots. Mayor Bill de Blasio.
The checkpoints, I think, are going to send a very powerful message that this quarantine law is serious.
This is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time. Balance of Nature, it's the greatest thing in the world. I can't imagine where I'd be without it. You know, I feel 20 years old again, and I want to continue to stay in shape. I understand the oversaturation in the market and the resulting cynicism that people have, but Balance of Nature works for anybody and everybody. And as much as it's a today product, it's a product for the future for me. I am the most satisfied customer in the world. I don't know what I would do without it. Don't wait to see what getting over 10 servings of whole fruits and vegetables every day can do for you. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com. Again, that's balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
Authorities in Beirut have increased the death count from the devastating explosion on Tuesday to at least 135. The government said around 300,000 people were homeless after the blasts, and more than 5,000 people were injured. Germany has sent search and rescue teams, and the WHO is sending 23 tons of aid. Democratic presidential hopeful Joe Biden will not travel to Milwaukee for the Democratic National Convention this month to deliver his acceptance speech due to concerns about COVID-19. Instead, Biden and all the other scheduled speakers at the August 17th through 20th convention will make their remarks remotely. The DNC said the changes were made to, quote, prevent risking the health of our host community, as well as the convention's production teams, security officials, community partners, media, and others necessary to orchestrate the event. Biden will accept the Democratic nomination from his home state of Delaware. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby on your radio. You know, this whole thing about masks and this whole thing about the coronavirus and this whole thing about, you know, attacking President Trump is slowly but surely starting to be a polarizing reality where, you know what, even people who may not even agree with us in the past are starting to agree with us. They're going, look, I may not agree with you on politics, Sam, but I'm not really for wearing masks everywhere. You know what? I don't agree with the propaganda that they're peddling about everybody's going to die from corona. They see President Trump's point and they see the truth and they start to, you know, you just, for example, let's say you're in Scott's or Kurt's family and you're more liberal or whatever. And, you know, then you go, man, I just see a difference in my family. Everybody's not dying of the corona. And so I think more and more people are polarizing in the favor of Trump, in the favor of, you know what? No masks. Let's not lock down. I think most people are saying, let's be prudent. Let's social distance. Some people are even saying, you know what? I choose to wear masks, but I don't agree with the mandate for masks. And it's important when you see Facebook and Twitter literally both double down against President Trump and take his video and take, you know, his points offline. My question is this, whether you think the president's right or not, whether you agree or not, whether you believe the scientists say what he's saying is correct or not, do you have the right to just take down dissenting opinions from the president of the United States of America? Who knows more, Facebook or the president? Twitter or the president? And you could say, well, neither of them are scientists. Neither of them are physicians. Neither of them know more. And I would say, but you know what? At least President Trump has been guided by top physicians. Okay. Well, there's a Stanford expert that we want to talk about and highlight today. It's a big article, a bunch of commentary on this guy. But I think we got to fire Fauci and replace him with Scott Atlas.
Stanford, well, it sure looks like it, doesn't it, Sam?
That's what I think. Stanford expert, Dr. Scott Atlas. He's of Stanford's Hoover Institution. Kurt, let's start there.
Yeah, and the Hoover Institution is not where they got the vacuums in the first place. It's just okay. You know, the name for it. But anyway, you know, he says he's always believed, you know, this whole locking things down to flatten the curve and all that stuff was the wrong approach. Protecting, he says, the higher risk populations and allowing the virus to burn out or attenuate, as what the article says, through infecting people who are at low risk of serious illness should be the aim. That's what he said in a Fox News interview with Sandra Smith, who is guest hosting the story. I guess that's a program there. He said, I think there is a huge disconnect here in what the goal of public policy is here. He's, by the way, a senior fellow in scientific philosophy and public policy at what's called Stanford University's Hoover Institution. He said, the goal of stopping COVID-19 cases is not the appropriate goal. The goal is simply twofold, to protect the people who are going to have a serious problem or die. I guess it would be a serious problem. That's the high-risk population, and to stop hospital overcrowding. He argued against focusing on testing college students, for example, when the aim should be to protect the high-risk group from getting infected. He said there should never be, and there is no goal to stop college students from getting an infection they have no problem with. And then he points out that 99.8, that's a pretty high percentage of the deaths from COVID-19, are in people over 24. He says they can do things if they are still afraid from a distance, but you don't lock down healthy people. He says it's just irrational, really. And, you know, he's right, him, isn't he?
Well, and he's agreeing with what President Trump has said for a long time and what we've been saying from the very beginning, Kurt. And here's the point for Facebook and Twitter. You can disagree with me, you can disagree with the president, but what you can't do, and this is where I think that we really need to sue Facebook and Twitter and others, Google, and you're saying that Dr. Scott Atlas of Stanford has not a clue and that you know more. Okay, that's the real problem with this propaganda they're peddling. Now, they can have their own opinions, too. And I don't have a problem if Facebook and Twitter have a different opinion. Fauci has a different opinion. They're entitled to their opinion, too. What they're not entitled to do, though, is shut out our opinion. And that's the problem that I'm having with this. Now, Dr. Scott Atlas says this, protecting the higher-risk populations and allowing the virus to burn out or attenuate through infecting people who are at low risk of serious illness should be the aim, he said in a Fox News interview with Sandra Smith. Now, here's the point, Kurt. As we attenuate this disease, it gets weaker and weaker. And as we let it infect people who will not die, 99.8% chance they won't die, President Trump has said, in congruency with Dr. Scott Atlas's professional opinion, President Trump said, hey, kids are almost immune from COVID-19. Now, if they've got a 99.8% likelihood of when they get it, there's no real serious complications and or death, is President Trump really wrong? He's agreeing with Dr. Scott Atlas. Well, I don't know where Fauci is on this, but I agree with protecting the higher risk population, not by force, but by willingness to do, you know, the best we can. He goes on, though, and he talks about the goal of stopping COVID-19 cases is not the appropriate goal, Kurt. The goal is simply twofold. Start there. This is incredible.
Very good, Sam. Yeah, he's basically, you know, just giving you the facts, at least I think, and yet, you know, wouldn't want to get the facts in the way. So I'm just looking for that little part where you said the goal is twofold.
Yeah, it says the goal of stopping this thing, of stopping COVID-19 cases is not the appropriate goal. That's the first thing to understand.
Right.
Okay? Yep. Then he says the goal is simply twofold. First, to protect the people that are going to have a serious problem with COVID.
Yep.
Those are the people that are going to die. Okay? Mm-hmm. I would say the highest risk people. Not even necessarily the higher risk, the highest risk people, the people that are going to die. And you don't know who's going to die and who's not, but you can predict. Almost all the people that have died from COVID, Kurt, are over 50.
Yep.
All right. Secondly, 9 times out of 10, they've got underlying health conditions. And they're usually in some kind of a facility for those underlying conditions. I mean, they're already, at least with their health, on the ropes, so to speak. Now, I'm not downing their situation, but I'm highlighting the reality, the factors that can give us an idea of who the highest population at risk is. The second thing we can do, in addition to protecting those who have a serious problem or die, the second goal should be to stop hospital overcrowding. Okay? I agree again, because what we're saying is we need to have room for those who truly need to go to the hospital for the COVID.
Yep.
We need to make sure there's room for those people. So we need to focus on protecting those who might die and making sure we don't hospital overcrowd. How do you best make sure we don't hospital overcrowd? And the answer is to not necessarily just test everybody and their dog. Atlas argued against focusing on testing college students.
That's right.
Because he said the aim should be to prevent people or protect people. That's the high risk group from getting infected. That should be our goal.
Yep.
He continued. He said there should never be a goal to stop college students from getting infected or those who are even younger, because what you do is you race towards herd immunity, natural herd immunity when you do that. And if those people are, you know what, not really at high risk, what's the problem? And that's where you get the 98 or 99.8% of deaths from the COVID-19 are in people over 24. Now, when you highlight this, over 24, you can even, increase the age to, say, 50, and you still get like a 90% chance of no problem or more. Okay, but then he finishes up what he's saying, and he says this. You know what? You don't lock down healthy people. I know you said that before, Kurt, when you were highlighting this, but I want to repeat that. This Dr. Atlas is saying you don't lock down healthy people. I think this is the salient point. All right. Any more on this one, Kurt?
Well, you know, I think you've hit most everything. I want to cover this one little part where he talks about he insisted that mass testing destroys the ability to get critical information on the tests from the people who are at high risk. You know, we talked about this where you get these stories of saying that we can get 5-minute results, and yet, you know, we've talked to literally people that we've known who said, who were told it takes them 10 days to get their results back. So if you jam up the system with a bunch of, you know, testing of people who aren't really in the high risk category, then it delays, like he says, when we have testing delays because we're doing a million tests every day, it's getting to be crazy already. We need to be able to get the results from the high risk test, no one else, you know. And
yeah, and it, what it also does, though, is when you focus on cases,
yeah,
when 90%+ of those cases turn out the people are fine, you create this panic in the people about the number of cases when it's not really even justified. He says both democratic and autocratic regimes. We'll start there in seconds.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999. Or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, he talked about a bunch of crats, Kurt. So does our liner, huh?
Good point, Sam. Yeah. Right at the end of the article from I'm pretty sure this was WorldNet Daily. Yeah, that's right.
WND.com doing a phenomenal job, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. And, you know, it says, they have also caused an erosion of fundamental rights and the separation of powers in large part of the world, in a large part of the world, as both democratic and autocratic regimes, these are governments, have misused their emergency powers and ignored constitutional limits to policymaking. So, you know, that's your lockdowns, you know, stuff like that. So,
well, the truth shall set you free. And again, Dr. Yep. Atlas highlights President Trump's point. The reason I said that we ought to fire Fauci and put Dr. Atlas in his place is because this is certainly every bit as credentialed of a physician. Secondarily, you know what? He agrees with President Trump way more than, say, a Fauci does. And part of the problem, unfairly, is this disconnect and this arguing and this differing of opinions. We need a clear message from the White House. And I think Dr. Scott Atlas could carry that message for President Trump much more effectively in a meaningful way, which is, hey, this is nothing to mess with. Dr. Atlas is not dismissing this and saying it doesn't matter. What he's saying is we need to go about it differently. The point is there's a huge disconnect, is the exact words he used. Okay? There's a huge disconnect in what the goal of the public policy is or ought to be. I agree. And that's where we got to get on the same page and carry a clear message, which is we know this virus is serious, folks. Let's be clear. That's why we stopped the Chinese from coming. It's not that we hate Chinese. It's that we didn't want the infection to spread. And they say, oh, you either did it too late, President Trump, or you shouldn't have done it at all. Well, they can't win. I mean, they can't. They got to pick their poison. Either he shouldn't have stopped it at all, or he stopped it too early. How can that be? He did his best, and he saved lives. But they're going to criticize him because he should have done it sooner, and then criticize him because he did it at all? It doesn't make any sense. So we need to get Dr. Scott Atlas and President Trump to start having press briefings, and then to start going on radio programs, both of them. Okay, they could do 10 times more with radio programs than anything else. And I'm telling you, we could create a consistent message that really highlighted, look, the coronavirus is serious. We got to protect the most vulnerable among us. We got to make sure hospitals don't get overwhelmed. But we've got that well in hand. Let's now open up society and life and schools and get back to normal as much as we can. And there are some practices that we can take that can reduce the likelihood of, if you get the virus, of it being catastrophic. And that's really where Dr. Atlas, in my opinion, shines the most and is intelligent, thoughtful. You know, he's the expert of Stanford, so I think the guy ought to know. We really need to work on that. And I think if we stop the panic, stop the divide on this thing, and really focused on productive solutions going forward, we could get this nation back on track pretty quickly, Kurt. I implore President Trump to fire Fauci and replace with Dr. Scott Atlas. All right, let's talk about the media and its myths about gun control. The news industry, Kurt, and their push against guns is actually endangering people's lives. John R. Lott Jr.
Good point. And, you know, John Lott's been doing great work on this kind of stuff for years, Sam. And, you know, he writes, you know, you got the World Net Daily and the Real Clear Politics all teaming up. But, you know, they talk about this push to disarm Americans, such as Pamela and Mark McCloskey, those are the St. Louisians, I guess. I don't know if that's how you say it. But, you know, that recently have been in the media. They say the news media give people a view, very skewed view of guns and crime, and they push policies that, well, endangered people's lives. You know, and he talks about New York Times and these different places, you know, lots of really good detail here. But there's several myths. They've got five of them in here. Myth number one says, LA Times, why the U.S. is number one in mass shootings. Says this claim is based on one study by Adam Langford at the University of Alabama, and Langford asserted that the U.S. accounted for 31% of mass public shootings from 66 to 2012. They say that the thing is, Sam, when they finally got him to release his data and stuff, they found out, well, he was wrong. He had it wrong. And he says the United States accounted for just 1% of the shooters, far less than its share of the world population. Places like France, Switzerland, Russia, Finland, and Norway all have substantially higher per capita fatality rates than does the U.S. You know, France's rate's 111% higher than ours. You know, that's part of the whole myth thing. Myth number two, gun ownership is declining. So anyway.
Hey, man, people are buying guns at a rapid rate. Even the blacks and the people in the hood, right, and all the people that used to not be for guns, they're like, well, wait a minute now. If the thugs are going to come in my house and rape my family and take all my stuff, I need to rob me not. I need to rape me not. And so they're starting to get the great equalizer there. And in the hands of good people is a blessing and a half.
Yeah, and they say myth number three, guns allow people to kill themselves much more easily. You know, and it's backed.
I don't know that that's really a myth. Anything around allows people to kill people more easily. So do medications, and, you know, so does the knife that cuts your steak when you're eating dinner, and so does the, I mean, I can go on and on, the car that you drive, because you could get in your garage and hook up a tube and kill yourself, right?
You know, it can be used to stop havoc, right?
Of course it could.
That's the key thing.
But they don't want to admit that truth.
That's right. Now, myth number four, they say background checks stop mass public shootings. You know, they basically say they always want to get more background checks. And yet the thing they forget to say, Sam, is that criminals don't keep the law.
Imagine that.
I mean, it's kind of crazy. Myth number five, they say academics think that gun control reduces crime. And then they say academics are very skeptical of gun control. The New York Times garnered attention with its 2017 surveys of academics, but it asked only 32 of them. And the vast majority were public health researchers, with only a few criminologists or economists. Many respondents had never done empirical research on gun control, let alone published a peer-reviewed paper on the subject.
You know, you sure can't have this guy in the, you know.
Well, that's exactly right. Group, this guy, he says, especially in high crime urban areas, minorities need to have a way of fighting back against crime. Gun control and restrictions on police are making black lives more vulnerable than they have been in many decades. Very.
There you have it. Where's John Lott from, Kurt?
Well, you remember John Lott was the guy that
I know who he is. I just can't remember where he's from.
I don't remember either, but
right, well, let's try to look
last
that up.
Crime.
It's kind of interesting.
I have to look him up.
He does a great job. All right, I want to get to a couple of other quick stories before the end of the hour. Ohio Pharmacy Board. First, they locked down and said, physicians cannot give you hydroxychloroquine, Kurt. No, no, no. It's evil. It's bad. You can't do it. Well, now they've reversed. So the Ohio Pharmacy Board reverses hydroxychloroquine ban a day after issuing it, writes Jack Davis of the Western Journal. So they banned it, and the outcry was so great they had to reverse the ban because they were peddling propaganda with the ban, Kurt.
Well, yeah, Sam. I mean, imagine them, reversing something.
Is another point that President Trump is right, and these doctors that are talking about this is right. There's more doctors agree that hydroxychloroquine can help versus hinder by far more doctors that believe that. That's why we need to get some of these other doctors on President Trump's board or staff or whatever else, because even these pharmacy boards are starting to realize President Trump is correct. The problem is the mainstream press won't tell you all these things. It takes the Western Journal to report the reversal. The mainstream press is just like, oh, man, you know, the Ohio Pharmacy Board shut down hydroxychloroquine there, and then when it gets reversed, they're just like, mum's the word.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's on the back page if it's on any page, you know.
Yeah.
Good point. Good point.
All right. In a rare move, top American rabbinical leader unequivocally endorses President Trump. This is interesting, Kurt.
Well, I mean, Sam, we just don't see the president getting good stories. And this one, here's a, you know, big leader of a religious group, and yet, why wouldn't that story get some real coverage? I'll tell you why, because it's good news for the president, Sam, right?
Yeah, can't be having that. Now, the folks that are anti-Jew and anti, you know, Vatican and anti-Catholic or whatever, they're gonna be like, oh man, this is just Jared Kushner got this done for the Donald, and you know, this is really bad. Now the Jews are in bed with the president, and you know, they're gonna go on like that. And I want to just reject that notion for a second. Okay, let's just stop and quit painting with such a broad brush. Let's be intelligent about this. If a Jewish person endorses, in my opinion, the greatest president in our lifetimes, shouldn't we applaud that?
Sure should be applauded.
Maybe the Jewish guy's starting to believe in Christ like President Trump, Kurt.
Good point.
So. Maybe the Jewish guy realizes that President Trump is right on the COVID issues for the most part. Maybe the guy's realizing that pro-life matters, and he believes in pro-life. He's a Jewish guy that's pro-life. I don't know the reasons behind it. All I'm saying is, hey, we need to learn when to criticize or when to say this is wrong and here's why. And we need to also learn to stop it when we have something good. Even if you can find the negative narrative behind everything. I mean, it's easy to do.
That's exactly right.
But at some point, you got to say, well, look, this guy could be backing Biden. What would we say then? See, all I'm saying is, look, is it good that he's doing this? Yeah, because I think the more support we get for President Trump, the better. You can say, well, Sam, I don't think Trump's doing a good job. My response is, okay, well, who do you think should be president? And who's on, who's on first with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I support third-party candidates as well.
Yep.
But at the same time, I say, I sure don't want the Bidens of the world.
Good point.
You don't think they have any Jewish influence? Okay, so all I'm saying is I'm not interested in those racial debates or those religious separations or those divides. I'm saying, hey, this guy's doing a good job backing President Trump. It's a rare move for someone in that kind of a position to do so. But when it's right, let's not shoot it down. Good for him.
That's right. Yeah, this guy apparently is in charge. They call him a preeminent leader of the American Ultra-Orthodox Jewry, J-E-W-R-Y, and they say he unequivocally endorsed Donald Trump for the 2020 election. So, you know, that's pretty big news for the president.
I wonder how many more huge endorsements President Trump will get before it's over, huh?
Good point.
All right, anyway, and again, you know what, I want people to think, oh, Sam, you've fallen to the dark side. Now you're, embracing the Jews or okay, listen, stop. I don't even want to hear it. I'm not embracing anybody, but I am saying religious freedom is important, and I back religious liberty. And I am saying when good people come to the table, even if they're not people that I would normally think would be on the right side of an issue when they are once in a while. Let's give them credit and just leave it at that. Oh, no, there's a deep conspiracy. President Trump could be, all they'll do is have the Jewish influence control the president. Okay. Still embrace the fruits that are good that he does, will you? All right. God save the Republic. LovingLiberty.net.